This podcast is made possible by thousands of dedicated listeners just like you. Be a part of this powerful three-decade legacy of evangelization by visiting materdeiradio.com or downloading the Hail Mary media app. And thank you for joining us on the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
Bringing you a common sense and fresh perspective to creating a just society. This is Common Sense on Social Justice. You'll get equipped with the tools you need to carry out social justice right where you are. Now, here's the host of Common Sense on Social Justice, Michael Davis.
Thank you once again for joining us in this journey of creating a just society right where we are. We're going to talk about social media today, so brace yourselves. Most of you probably use social media. I do. I use X and Instagram in my ministry entitled Unfolding Love. I used to have a personal X account and Facebook, but I got rid of those. I kind of got tired of all of the hatred and slander or whatever, but I do use it. And talk about social media as neighborhood today. Well, let's talk about creating a just society in your neighborhood. Well, could social media be that neighborhood, or at least one of your neighborhoods? Because there is a new kind of neighborhood that has emerged in the past few years, the neighborhood of social media. And why do I call it a neighborhood? Because it involves an artificial type of local human interaction. And due to this, it's important to understand how we can use social media properly in the advancement of a just society. Let's take a look as we begin today at social media as a new type of neighborhood. You know, a neighborhood is a community in which people live in close proximity to each other. Children may go to the same school, play in the same park, and people interact in a way they know each other, even if it is on the surface. The truest neighborhoods are generally built in areas where most of the people own their own home, because in owning your home, you are invested for years and maybe even decades or the rest of your life at being at that location. So the truest neighborhoods are those where, again, most people own their own homes. Thus, they're committed to that. People are also, you know, truest neighborhoods can be like in places like the projects, where people are forced by poverty into decades of renting. The neighborhoods that are less likely to be a true neighborhood are ones that are dominated by middle-class or upscale apartment complexes where people come and go and are less likely to get to know each other. Other, quote, neighbors are merely neighbors by accident and thus not deemed worthy of the time and energy to invest in each other. But now there's a new type of neighborhood that is artificial, but it is one in which people interact, again, that is social media. This is a neighborhood where people come and go and where there is no real investment unless they subscribe to each other's feeds and, of course, comment on each other's post. Social media can lend itself to a type of dictatorship where one person dominates and the others are merely following the posts of the leader. An example I can think of is Elon Musk. He's the dictator who's posting and demanding the conversation, and then others are merely following. And they may follow up with comments of their own ideas, but it only happens because the dictator of the neighborhood required that conversation. Now, I'm not saying dictator in the Hitler sense of the word. I'm not saying Elon Musk is Hitler. I'm just saying a dictator, one who dictates the conversation. And there would not have been these people commenting and giving their ideas without, again, the example of Elon Musk first being the one to initiate the conversation. So it's a dictatorial type of neighborhood. And so let's talk about some pros and cons of social media as we continue on this conversation. Let's start with the pros. In social media, there is the opportunity for further outreach, for planting seeds. It does have the potential of bringing people together who you would have never run into. So maybe you need more people to help on a certain project. You can find those people on social media, and in physical life, you would have never, not necessarily run into those people. Social justice movements, you know, they can find fertile ground to revolutionize through the use of social media. Now, what are some of the cons? Well, social media is artificial at best. It lends itself to severe verbal attacks and canceling due to people not being seen behind their profiles. So people don't understand that, and we'll get more into this later, but people don't understand that there's a real human being behind that artificial profile. So it lends itself being easier to attack people. Social media lends itself to people's false opinions for all the world to see. Now, on the flip side of that, once somebody gives a dumb idea or a false opinion, and then later they feel contrite for that or feel contrite for attacking another person, there is no opportunity for forgiveness or penance because the post is forever there. Now, another example of this in life could be a movie. Like if a movie star stars in a trashy movie, and then later in life they feel repentant about that, well, the movie's forever there. So, you know, before God, if you repent, that's good. But before the world's eyes, it's forever there for everyone to see. Whereas in a normal life, without social media, without movies and all that, you do something wrong, later in life you feel repentant, and unless some person is absolutely refusing to forgive and they're hanging on to it, generally most people forget you ever did it. So, yeah. So there's the opportunity for true penance there. So let's look at social media now as an artificial local. Though social media can have a feeling of localness, it's not truly local. To be truly local is to physically interact with others. Why am I saying these things? I'm trying to show that social media can be an artificial type of neighborhood in which to carry out the work of social justice, but true neighborhood is physical. In its outworking, you physically see and physically interact with your neighbors. True localness allows us to see the others in the community and their context, whereas social media allows us to see people only in the abstract. And because we see only in the abstract, we can easily get into attacking the other. So when someone posts an opinion or a thought on social media, I don't know who this person is. Now, I may say, well, this person's been a follower of mine for 5 years. Well, you still don't know who they are. Whereas my neighbors, I know them. So I know their context. So let's take the example. Let's say somebody posts on X, wow, it's a sunny, warm day today. Now, based upon that in the abstract, my assumption is, this person loves sunny, warm days. Now, let's say my next door neighbor, the person who lives in the house next to mine, says, wow, it's a sunny, warm day. I might be shocked to hear them say that. How could I be shocked? Because in the context of physical life and knowing them and their context, I know that my neighbor enjoys cool, rainy weather. So because my neighbor enjoys cool, rainy weather, and they say, wow, it's a sunny, warm day, I'm shocked. I'm like, wow, you like that? You see? So in social media, you don't get the true context of where the person is coming from. Therefore, it's easier to attack because you don't understand what they're thinking or why they're thinking it. Moving on, true localness forces us to look into the eye of the other. When we are physically in a neighborhood, and we attack another person, we are forced to look them in the eye while we attack them, or when we're tempted to attack them, we're forced to look them in the eye and to face the immediate consequences of doing so. So I would dare say most of the time we hold back and refrain from attacking another person because we have to look at them and we know what the consequences would be. Whereas on social media, there's no consequences. You can just spout your stupid opinion or spout your attack to people and move on. And so we got to be careful. And we'll talk more about how to be positive on social media later in this episode. Going on, true localness demands us to be vulnerable and to see the outcomes of our actions. If we do something negative, take a negative action in our neighborhood, we're forced to see the outcomes of that negative action. Whereas on social media, you're never exposed to the actions of your outcomes. Another example in life, not just in social media, but in government, this can happen as well. The higher up a person is in government, the less local they become. So a representative from my neighborhood or my city of Portland, their structure is where the mayor is more of an administrator of the city, and then there's three people from each district of the city. So three people get voted on in my district of the city. So those people are local. They're hyper-local. They can see the outcomes of their decisions. But the governor of Oregon cannot. The government of Oregon, if I am impacted negatively by their, they don't know that. Now let's go higher. Let's go to President of the United States. Let's go to the representatives in the European, the United Nations. They're not local. Therefore, they don't see the outcomes and consequences of their actions. And so that creates a problem. And the same goes for corporations. The higher up in management you go, the less likely you see the outcomes of your decisions and how it's affecting people. I'll tell you an example here in Portland. Interstate 5 was built, I think, in the 1950s or 60s or both. Probably both because, you know, interstates take a while to build. The man who designed the interstate or the freeway system in the Portland metro area was a man by the name of Robert Moses. Robert Moses was a racist, and I'm not saying that haphazardly. I'm going by his quotes to tell you he was racist. Robert Moses also is the man who designed the freeway system in the New York City metro area. And Robert Moses intentionally designed freeways to be built through ghettos. And he said, and I quote, "Build the freeways through the ghettos in order to move the ghettos out and to move the blacks out." So he purposely built freeways not to move people around faster, but to get black people out of their neighborhoods and to push them further out. So Robert Moses comes to Portland because the state of Oregon hired him to come design the freeway system for the Portland metro area. Only about half of the freeways actually ever end up getting built. But Interstate 5 was purposely built through the Alberta district or Albina district. The Albina district is the district where the Moda Center, where the Portland Trailblazers play, and the Moda Center is on one side of I-5, and the Albina neighborhoods on the other side of I-5, and the Albina district is on the northeast side of downtown Portland, predominantly black neighborhood historically, and I-5 cut that neighborhood off and created very negative consequences through the years. So now we've got a governor of Oregon who wants to correct the past. So federal and state funds have been collected to put Interstate 5. Now, Interstate 5 is in complete gridlock through that section as well. It's poorly designed. So they're going to add more lanes. They're going to redesign the on-off ramps. But most importantly, they're going to put Interstate 5 underground in a tunnel through the Albina district and reconnect the neighborhood to try to right past wrongs. That's an example of somebody who sees the consequences of past actions and wants to right that. But the less local you are, the less likely you're going to see those consequences. And that's one of the problems with social media is it is not true local, truly local, because you are not forced to see the consequences of your actions. Social media gives us the false impression that we are doing good when we actually might be causing destruction due, again, to that lack of localness. Now, let's move on to another point about social media. How do you create a just world through social media? Well, the first thing you got to do is recognize that social media is an artificial neighborhood, but a neighborhood nonetheless. To see the potential to do that helps you inform you how to post, how to comment, who to accept as followers and who not to, and who to follow yourself. Too often we decide to follow people just for the self of getting a bigger audience for ourselves. That's not a great way to go about it. Next, see the potential for deepening the neighborhood. Even though social media is artificial at best, there is potential for deepening it. And that can happen through the way you create groups, the way you comment, just your actions in general, just like in a real neighborhood, your actions. How do I talk to people? How do I go about my life in this forum? Next, see the opportunity to create a just neighborhood where you live. And I'm talking about the physical neighborhood, not the social media neighborhood. See the opportunity to create a just society where you physically live, and then support other true neighborhoods by sharing on social media what worked for you. Maybe you could even create a group with them. And so social media allows various neighborhoods to interact with each other, to support each other in their creation of that just society. Next, avoid commenting on social media and just silently listen to learn fresh ideas for your neighborhood. We don't always have to jump to talking on social media. It's not a requirement, okay? There's no law that says you have to talk on social media. So silently listen and observe how others are doing it and think, oh, that actually might work for my neighborhood. And then finally, create groups on social media to deepen the humanity of the artificial neighborhood. All right, let's move on to our fourth point today, social media and the call of the gospel. Originally, the gospel came from another dimension than our own. The gospel originally came from heaven, but the gospel transcended realms and dimensions, and it came from the heavenly dimension and entered into our earthly dimension. And so it is entirely possible for the gospel to now enter into and transcend another dimension, that is the dimension of social media. But we must not allow the world system to dominate social media. We must rise up and carry the gospel into this new dimension, but we have to be careful. So I want to give you some warnings about some negative ways and some positive ways of transcending in the gospel into the dimension of social media. Let's look at the negative ways of transcending. One is being judgmental. Being judgmental. There's so much judgmentalism on social media. Try to be very careful how you post and how you comment so you're not coming across as judgmental. Be careful of casting pearls before swine. Jesus warned the disciples, don't throw the seed of the gospel to people who are so ready to reject it and just to trounce it. Social media, because it's so general and so broad, when you post the gospel on social media, you really take the chance of casting pearls before swine. So be very, very careful. A negative way of transcending is proclaiming gospel truths with no context for those who have no context in their life for the gospel. So don't spout things like Jesus is Lord. I mean, yeah, he is, but there are people in their life who don't have a context to understand what that's about. So make sure that you're providing proper context in your posts and comments. Next, pushing the gospel in other people's faces. There are people on social media, it's like every time they talk, I want to flag their post. I don't, but it's like, would you stop pushing this into people's faces? I love Jesus Christ. I'm a disciple of Jesus, a devout Catholic, and there are times where I'm sick and tired of some of the posts. Okay, so if I am, how much more for those who are in that space? Avoid politicizing the gospel. And especially right now in our heated political environment, that is happening like crazy. People politicizing the gospel. Now, are there politics involved in the gospel? Absolutely. The very statement, Jesus is Lord, is a political statement. But what I'm talking about, don't make the gospel your liberal agenda and don't make it your MAGA agenda, okay? The gospel is its own agenda. Jesus wasn't on the side of the liberals or the conservatives in the Roman Empire. The gospel and the kingdom he was breaking into the world had its own agenda that was in opposition to all world agendas. Avoid trending the gospel. You know, there's certain trends that pass through the church from time to time. Avoid those trends. I mean, learn from them. But just know a lot of things are simply trends. Learn from it and move on. Don't trend the gospel. Creating division with the gospel. There's many ways to do that. Avoid that. Being self-important with proclamation of the gospel. Don't come as if you're descending down to earth from heaven with the gospel, but just, you know, I'm broken, talking to a broken audience about something that can heal all of us. That's how you should come across. Being careless with our words on social media, St. James and the letter of James in the New Testament of the Bible would have much to say about this and the use of social media. Be careful with your tongue. Avoid being out of balance. You shouldn't just be proclaiming the gospel on social media, but also be human and be fun. Now, I'm not saying you be fun for the sake of fun, but you know, there is a way to be attractive as a person so that when you do announce the gospel of the Lord, people are able to hear it more readily. I'm thinking of Saint Teresa of Avila, who was apparently a lot of fun to be around. I'm thinking of Saint Philip Neri, who was a comedian. I mean, he was a priest, but he was comedic in his approaches. And people loved being around him. Be balanced in your posts. You don't always have to post Christian stuff. Do general posts. Tell funny stories or something funny that happened to you. Post a funny video of something that happened to you that day. Be balanced in your approach in the gospel so that people are able to more, so it brings down walls and people are more able to hear what you have to say in the gospel. And then be careful not supporting others. In other words, a negative way is to not support others on social media, or a lack of true and productive engagement that leaves people feeling demoralized, judged, or abandoned. Make sure that it's not all about you. Social media, definitely, especially among the influencers, it's all about them. They don't care about anybody else that follows their feeds. And so be very careful to engage with others, support them. With unfolding love, I try to go into comments on other people's posts and say, boy, you said that really well. Thank you for posting that and for saying that so articulately. So what are some positive ways we can break the gospel into the dimension of social media? Some positive ways are coming from a point of humility. Again, I'm broken here. I'm just sharing something that can heal you like it healed me. Coming from love. Coming from a human place. And I encourage you to read the documents of Vatican II to understand how to bring the gospel into social media in a human way, allowing honest discussion with freedom. In other words, you are allowed to put in the comments what you can. You can say, and I won't judge you for that. Not being defensive. I heard a monk once say that the truest monk is the one who can be attacked and remain silent and not defend themselves. Share the gospel with joy. You know, so many gospel announcements on social media I see that's just like, my goodness, that's judgmental. Share the gospel with human context. That's what Jesus did in the parables. Be parabolic. Share parables on social media. Put it into human context. Join people in their struggle to understand or accept the gospel. You know, I've had atheist friends over the years who will come to me and they'll share how a loved one died. I'm not going to get into heaven and hell with them. Just going to put my arm around them and say, I'm so sorry to hear that. I'm here for you. And that's what I would say to them. Yeah. Finally, as we close out today, let's talk about our fifth point here, towards a just use of social media. Yes, we can create a just society right where we are, even within the realm of social media. And first, be slow and careful to post. Whenever I post, I look at my post three or four times to pick it apart, critique my own post before I actually submit the post. So be slow and careful. It can be okay for it to be rare for you to actually post anything. That's okay. You can always repost past posts if you feel like you need to. Post only as the Spirit leads. Build others up through social media. Put positive comments in their posts. When it comes to the, you know, creating a just society, you know, a lot of that is just, you know, showing others what that looks like and then praising them when you see them doing it. It may be somebody puts in your comments on your post, hey, I did this and this and this, and just like, wow, that's awesome. Thank you for doing that. Build others up. Be a teacher versus a poster. We don't need any more influencers. Done with them. We don't need more people posting. What we need is teachers on social media. A teacher is somebody who's not preaching. A preacher and a teacher is two different things. Be a teacher. Unpack mysteries for people on social media. That's what that means, to be a teacher. Next, be a peacemaker. Be a peacemaker. Bring people together in unity. And then be a prophet. Not a prophet that's yelling at people. Be a genuine prophet. Unravel the mysteries of the present for people to see. You'll see people say, I love Donald Trump, MAGA all the way. And others, oh, I hate Donald Trump. He's Hitler reincarnated, you know. As a prophet, what you can do is look deeper into the mysteries of the present and expose what's actually happening in the present to people. Remind yourself often. You might have to put stickies next to your computer screen for this one, but or put daily reminders in your phone. But remind yourself often that there are real human beings behind these profiles, and they're having a real human experience just like you. They have family to deal with, children to drop off to school, diseases to deal with, loved ones passing away, financial stresses, marriages to deal with. They have jobs to go to. Remind yourself, in some way, remind yourself always there's a real person having a real human experience behind that post and behind that profile. Use social media to bring people together and advance the principles of true social justice. And last but not least today, avoid the social justice warrior complex. That one drives me nuts on social media. We are not called by God to be social justice warriors. We are called to be social justice servants. God is the warrior who's accomplishing the thing. We are the servants through which he is doing it. So be a social justice servant on social media. The other day I was at the office and I saw an email come from a coworker. And the funny thing about this email from the coworker was that the coworker was actually sitting right next to me in the office. I looked at them and laughed and I said, "You just sent me an email. I'm sitting right here." I understood that they were sending the email because it contained some documentation that I needed. But after that, we stopped and we shared about what was going on in our lives a little bit, you know, and had that light moment at work. Social media is okay. But being physically human is better. May God give us wisdom to know how to use social media in creating a just society right where we are.
You've been listening to Common Sense on Social Justice with your host, Michael Davis. A common sense and fresh perspective to creating justice where you are. Share your comments and questions with Michael by emailing sjcommonsense@gmail.com. That's sjcommonsense@gmail.com.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with a friend. You can support this vital mission of evangelization through materdayradio.com or the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for helping us lead souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.